We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Infielder, number 14.
Here's Konerko and the fans stand here at U.S. Cellular all the way around.
Paul Konerko.
It's a gunner. A home run for Konerko, his first as a member of the Sox.
Wow, what a bomb by Konerko.
Just keep throwing him fastballs. He just keeps hitting them out.
2-0 pitch to Konerko. High fly, slam.
Beautiful play by Konerko. This ball game is over.
Three homer game for Konerko, the first time he's done it. Have a night.
Don't even sit out, Paul. Just stay out there.
You just want to know that you pretty much toe the line every day.
And something has been said by Balfour to Konerko. Konerko's telling him, you worry about pitching.
You were ready and you were available for your manager and your teammates that you were there for the fight.
The ball hit way back. Take that. Pavano. Konerko for third. He's being waved around. And inside the park, home run for Konerko.
I didn't believe I would ever see that.
His 1,000th RBI in a White Sox uniform.
Into the Detroit bullpen. Back-to-back Diane Konerko. 300th career home run for Konerko.
Diane Konerko.
And this game is tied at four on the 2,000th hit of Paul Konerko's career. Yes!
He's hit his 400th as Konerko.
Hell yes! Number 400 for Paulie.
Tag, bag, light it up. Sox win. Sox win.
He is the man for the White Sox.
And that's how you get a 16,000 square foot house in Scottsdale.
Ground ball to first. The White Sox have won the pennant.
This year's MVP of the American League Championship Series.
And the White Sox are going to the World Series.
Balls is in. Konerko coming up with a bases loaded. And he rips one in the left. Konerko, grand slam.
Bedlam in Chicago.
Uribe charges, throws. Out, out. A White Sox winner and a World Championship.
Second team, no more.
Big moment here for the White Sox fans and for first baseman Paul Konerko.
How proud I am and how honored I am to have worn this uniform and this ballpark and played hard for you guys as long as I could. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
The fans stand around this ballpark. Paul takes his cap off to salute each and every one of them.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Paul Konerko on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Paul, thanks so much for the time, man. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, we've heard from so many people in the last 4 days or so since our friend and colleague Les Grobstein's passing, but your story kind of became intertwined with his because he was known for being the only one to record the famous Lee Elia rant, a fact that I know that you loved. What was it about Les Grobstein's microphone that drew you to the story so much?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, first let's just start out with the content of what it recorded. The first time I ever heard it, I'm trying to think back when it was, but it was, I remember, you know, Ross Glode was on our team back then. This is like 04, 05, somewhere in there. And you know, someone brought it to us and brought us, I don't even know. I think it might have been Ed Farmer, to be honest with you. Someone, because obviously somebody knew about it that had been around a little bit. And like when we heard it, we were like, this can't be real. Like, this is not real, you know. And this has to be like an act or somebody just like pretending. And, you know, obviously we found out it wasn't. And it just became something. I mean, I've heard that. I mean, that year alone, I probably listened to it 1,000 times. And we would turn it on in the clubhouse, you know, loudspeakers going, especially if things weren't going well. And, you know, kind of feeling that frustration that you could tell Lee was feeling that day. You know, just when you get into those moments where you just know you're up against it and you kind of, you know, you just kind of hate everything and everyone and you're kind of, you know, you're kind of just in one of those ruts. So we would play it all the time. And then, you know, when I found out like the backstory was like Les and who recorded it, then, you know, he would come in and then it was like, yeah, you know, and then he had the recorder and like the recorder looked like it was from like, you know, like not 83. It looked like it was like from like 43, you know, it was like really old looking. And so it just became kind of like, you know, Les wasn't always around with us and all stuff. So when he came in, it was kind of a special occasion and it was clearly the topic of conversation every single time I saw the man.
It's so amazing because he loved telling stories, but there was probably no story he loved telling more than that. So the fact that you guys treated him like a celebrity or a big deal in that clubhouse, it must have meant the world to him.
I mean, I guess, you know, he was just doing his job, but I mean, it really is like, to me, like, it's like the Zapruder film and like the JFK assassination. It's like, it's such a famous piece of like evidence that this really happened. So I was always asking him questions like, now tell me, like, where were you standing? You know, like I really tried to have him describe the situation to me because, again, it's just a classic. I think, you know, anybody who's ever, certainly I'm sure, managed or coached a major sports team, but players as well. I mean, you can just feel that what Lee Elia went through that day and what he was saying and all that stuff is just like, you want to do that so many times, you know, like you want to just let loose and just let people have it. And I was, you know, I found out, and when you first listen to it, I'm sure everybody's the same way. When you first listen to it, there's no doubt there's this general feeling that he's generalizing the whole entire, you know, fan base and everybody in it. But the more you learn about it and you find out that it was more of a specific situation, I think that happened with a couple players that day and a couple fans that, you know, I guess made contact and reached over the wall and grabbed one of his players. There was more to it than what it sounded like, but in any event, it's still awesome. And it's just amazing. I just listened to it again, like 10 minutes ago before we got on, because I hadn't listened to it in probably about a year. And it's just amazing to me how many expressions in that 3 minutes that now are in my life permanently that I use.
85% of the ball's working. The other 15 come out here.
Yeah, exactly that one. The other day I was golfing and I get up to a shot that I hit and, you know, it was one that I was like, okay, that could be okay. That could be, I don't know. We'll see when we get up there. And I get up to it and it's a terrible lie. And I get up to it and I go, this is a disheartening bleeping situation we're in right now. And so it's, I don't even think about it. Stuff just comes out of me when it comes to that, you know, and as well as other guys I played with, I mentioned Ross and other guys, it's constantly something that is like intertwined in our verbiage to each other.
That's incredible to think that you quote the Lee Elia rant on the golf course, like a generation quotes Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore. Like, I cannot tell you how happy that makes me. That's the greatest thing.
Yeah,
I've ever
heard. I was in the football pool the other day. I had the Cardinals and, you know, you saw what happened in that game. And, you know, the text right away, like in the first quarter was the Cardinals are really effing behind us, you know, like, so it's like so many things that come out, you know, I mean, literally every single like line of that whole thing has been used in some capacity, you know, I don't know how many times it's just become, like I said, part of, especially with some of the guys I know with the White Sox PR guy, Bob Bechtol, Brian Johnson, who handles all the computer stuff. With the team, I mean, we can't get through, you know, 6-7 text messages back and forth without a reference to that rant, you know.
That is so amazing. We're talking to Paul Konerko, the world's foremost authority now that Les Grobstein has left us, on the Lee Elia rant here on The Score. Paul, did you ever make Les an offer for the microphone?
Well, I mean, a blank check, I feel like, is an offer. You know, like, I was like, man, just let me know what you want for it. But he was still using that, you know, that apparatus, I'll call it. You know, he was still using it. And it was kind of like one of those things like, all right, maybe down the line. But, you know, I mean, really, that thing should be in the Smithsonian, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Not Cooperstown, the Smithsonian.
It's got to be bigger Cooperstown, bigger than Cooperstown.
I agree. Well, you'll be thrilled to know that today at Les's funeral, the microphone and the recorder were displayed prominently. They were there.
I love that. That's as well it should have been. And it's amazing it still worked. I think it still worked. I mean, I know it still worked, you know, years after when I was with Les, but I'm guessing he still was using it. So, yeah, it's, you know, again, and you know, the flip side also is that I got to meet Lee, Greg Walker, who was our hitting coach, knew Lee from in the past when he played. And so, like, when Lee, I think, was with Seattle and he was doing some hitting work and, you know, because it like, I was like, I got to meet him, you know, like, I know of him and I always knew of him, but like, I never shook his hand. I never met him. And so I met him down in the cages in Chicago there at our stadium. And, you know, and he really, this was before he had like the little thing there where they was kind of like to make amends and they had kind of like a thing to kind of bring him back. Because, but when I met him, he still, you know, felt very terrible about the fact that, you know, it did what it did, you know, from his perspective. It wasn't as funny as we make it out to be, but I think now it's kind of been all been put to rest, and he's a great guy. And, you know, like, I'm sure everybody that's played with him, played for him, you know, has been with him, knows that he, you know, they would say the same thing, you know, he's a great guy and just a great baseball man, you know?
Yeah, of course. He had a bad day and he let it all out. Right. That's all. No big deal.
That's probably one of my favorite parts of the whole thing is like, you listen to this thing and you must be like, wow, these guys must have been like, you know, that must have been their 112th loss of the season. This must have been the most grueling season of all time. You can kind of understand he lost it. And then you find out, you know, it's 18 games into the season. And you're like, he got there fast, you know?
Yeah, right. 18 baseball games, and he lost his damn mind.
Yeah. Well, negate all that hard work, you know.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's a grind. Well, Les's family, Les's family actually, they're going to be selling his memorabilia. He collected everything, and I guess that was part of the plan, that, you know, he wanted to keep it, and now that he's passed away, his family does want to be selling some memorabilia. So I have no pressure, but I have no idea how serious you are, but if you would like us to put you in touch with a member of the Grobstein family, they absolutely are going to be looking to selling some of his memorabilia down the road.
I will look into that. I am not a memorabilia person, but I will tell you that, again, that one thing, because it's just a great, you know, plate thing to have. And like I said, like, if someone's like, what is that? You say, well, let me play this for you. And you right. can say, that right there was recorded on this thing here. And, you know, I was talking to Bob with the White Sox, as you know, before I came on, and I was like, we were talking about the famous rants of all time, whether it's like the Bobby Knight one with one of his players, or Tommy Lasorda has had a few of them. And I'm like, well, what guy out there in the world right now is about to get on a radio show and do an interview about one that happened almost 40 years ago? So to me, there's none of them that come close to, you know, what this was, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It has staying power. It's on all of the lists for the greatest blowups nationally. But, you know, Lee Elia, like, not as much star power of a, you know, of a Bobby Knight. And then maybe some of, like, right. you know, the football rants, like NFL, just like a little bit more popular in our consciousness today. But in Chicago, and certainly on this radio station, the number one sports station in this city, Lee Elia, number one with a bullet. Nothing will ever else come close.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, put it this way, if someone tried to compete with that one nowadays, there's no telling. They would probably lock him up and throw away the key, you know?
Yeah, the career's over. Career's over. You have been canceled. You have been deplatformed. There's absolutely no way you could get away with it. And there's something about, like, the baseball blow. I mean, you know, you were around Ozzie a lot. You know, he could blow up. He could have a bit of a temper. I'm sure you were around.
Well,
I know nothing like
you. Go out there and you turn your TV on and watch a stupid football when the football player don't give a about you.
Yeah. You know, so you were around your fair share of it, I have to imagine.
Yeah, I just think that, like, that what listening to the Lee Elia rant is like, I was fortunate enough, and I'm proud to say that. I mean, guys that are playing nowadays, they don't know any better. You know, it's like you come up and you only know what you know. It would be like somebody in college now, you know, doesn't know maybe how fun it was to be in college in the 70s or the 80s or something like that. And, but they only know what they know. But the beginning of my career still had kind of that old school kind of like, you know, group involved where you had, you know, coaches and managers smoking in the dugout and you had, you know,
yeah,
you just had that. And it's, that to me is like, if you go way back in history of baseball, connected to that. I mean, things nowadays, I mean, the game is great, always will be great. But let's be honest, it's gotten a lot more, you know, just sterile and a lot more, you know, cleaned up in terms of that type of stuff where, you know, they don't want that. It's definitely a business and you're trying to sell something. They don't want, you know, people chewing tobacco. They don't want people yelling, you know, hurling expletives across the field. They don't want Earl Weaver, you know. And so it's fun to watch those things from the past, because even way before my time, you watch some things and you're like, this is, you know, but it all worked, right? Like, no one, you know, it all seemed to figure itself out. The umpires, the managers, the media, like, it all just kind of seemed to figure itself out. Like, everybody was a big boy and kind of figured it out. But now, you know, you can't really go there as much with stuff like that. It becomes a bigger issue with all the, I guess, just the social media stuff and everything gets so hot so quick that it's almost like it just went a different direction. You know, back then it was a little different, I guess. And, you know, it is what it is, but you definitely, you know, wish. Let's put it this way. The people haven't changed. Humans haven't changed. Every manager, I promise you, is dying to go off like Lee Elia. They just yes. can't.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, today's athletes, they're obviously amazing, but they're, you know, it's all 3% body fat. They all have nutritionists and trainers and massage therapists and everything. Like, it is pretty impressive to be able to throw a no-hitter on LSD or come in a World Series game after a couple of beers or, like, you know, hit a triple with some cocaine in your pocket. Like, obviously we've progressed, but it did kind of speak to how incredible the athletes were back then, too, that they were also doing it while impaired.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not encouraging. I mean, I think something's changed for the better. There's a lot of things that have changed in this game or our game and other games that I don't like and I wish it would go back. But there are some things, you know, for the betterment of the players and their lives. It's definitely gotten better in terms of, like, how smart they are in terms of their financials,
right.
Smart they are in terms of, like, how to treat their bodies. You know, so not all change is bad. But, like, it's not – I mean, listen, now you watch baseball – you don't even see, like, a manager rarely. You can't argue anymore because they got the replay and it's like, oh, okay, he was safe. You can't argue it. Like, you can't, if you come out of the dugout, so you get thrown out. So it's kind of like, I do miss those, like, the characters of the game. And Ozzy was probably one of the last ones in terms of, like, you know, having that just flamboyant, crazy, you know, personality, because it's just, I'm not saying it's not allowed. It's just that it's been confined now from all different directions that you can't be like that if you want to. Teams don't want to have to deal with, you know, that kind of stuff on a daily basis, whether, you know, if a manager blows up an umpire after the game or blows up his own player or gets into it. They want it to just be kind of, you know, none of that type of drama. And that's where it's kind of evolved to. And who knows? Maybe it'll evolve back the other way. Who knows? No one's got a crystal ball, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, we're talking to Paul Konerko for just another minute or two. Just one baseball thing for you. You know, the White Sox are in the window is wide open. The team is unbelievably talented. And, you know, Rick Hahn has said, you know, talk to me at the parade. Like, that, the goal is stated that it's a World Series. I'm wondering, you know, how much did playoff experience matter for the team that ran the table in 05? The 2000 team obviously gets swept. There was plenty of roster turnover, but, like, now that the vast, vast, vast majority of this White Sox team has playoff experience, does that matter and help them going forward, or does the pressure build every year you get there and don't get it done?
I think it'll help. I think if you had there's both sides of that, but I think it's a net gain overall. I think that, and it's not just about the playoffs. It's maybe about, like, the regular season as you're 2-3 months away. You start to become maybe more mature on where your focus is and how to kind of ramp up into it. I think so. The experience doesn't just come out in the playoffs. I think the experience will come out right from the beginning of the season on how you navigate the season, knowing that the end goal. You know, it's easy to say we want to win a World Series and all that, but, like, when you go there and you lose, you get knocked out of the playoffs. Every year you come back, I'm thinking, if you got the right guys, you're a little bit hungrier. And so that all just kind of like stems off in all different directions throughout the season. And, you know, but like the bottom line is, though, like, you know, like look at all like the, say, the Braves teams of the 90s. I mean, they got a World Series out of it. But like that team was like the best team in baseball for a bunch of years and only got one out of it. And so it's no guarantees. Right. So you just got to just try to get to the playoffs as best you can, get yourself a chance to do it. And then if you get hot for 2 or 3 weeks, you can do it. But there's just no guarantees, and they're not failures if they do. I mean, being an ex-player, you know, you can only do your best and you can only put yourself in the best spot you can. And there's other good teams out there. And you just have to kind of resign yourself to the fact that you can do everything absolutely right and everybody can do well. And it could not happen. You have to kind of let go of that type of pressure. And, but usually, you know, in a 3-week tournament, the talent wins out, and they got a load of talent. So they should be there. They should have a chance of being right there again.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on. The level of your fandom for the Lee Elia rant and our friend and colleague Les Grobstein, it just comes across as so genuine. People love hearing from you always, so please don't be a stranger, and hopefully you're hitting them long and straight on the golf course, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I will always talk about the Lee Elia rant anytime I'm asked. So I'm here for it. So thank you for having me on, and rest in peace, Les.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That's Paul Konerko. We'll put you on with Shane Reardon if he wants to get in touch with the Grobstein family. And that is just, man, he can quote that rant like people can quote songs and movies. That is just so awesome to hear that. That's the joy. That's like the youthful joy of being the kid who grows up to play the kid's game for a career and just absolutely loves that. I watched the service today via Zoom, unfortunately. Wasn't able to be there because of COVID. Shane and Tanny were there. It was a beautiful service. We will be airing it on the score tonight during Les's time slot. Midnight, 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. is when we will be re-airing the services. If you missed it, it was a beautiful remembrance for a great man gone too soon. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.